Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by 99 Designs. Working with an individual graphic designer has its limitations. Choice is one. Want dozens of designs to choose from in just 7 days? Visit 99designs.com/twit and get a $99 upgrade of services for free. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With a built-in HD camera and microphone, you can monitor your front door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like being home even when you're not. Right now, get $10 off the Ring Video Doorbell when you go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 227, recorded on Tuesday, August 18th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Welcome. This is a big day.
We thought last week with the announcement of Alphabet and Google and Sundar and all that stuff was going to be big, but and I was like, all right, we'll have a quiet week this week. But 2 weeks in a row, breaking Google news happened before we did the show.
I know.
Historically, all this stuff would happen on Wednesday.
Yeah, it happens the day after the show.
I think Google PR has finally got the message. I think they've realized that we are a force to be reckoned with. And
they've shifted their entire promotional release schedule around the show.
If you go to Mountain View and you look at the marketing calendar or whatever, there's a big circle on Tuesday and it says AAA, and they're piecing in stuff around us now.
They pulled the podcast art. They have it pinned up there.
Exactly.
I know. We've only heard of this, of course. We haven't actually seen a picture. And by hear of it, we mean that we're making it up.
Google PR, I salute you.
This is a pretty awesome day. We've got a lot of excellent news to talk about. We also have two excellent guests returning to the show. And they're a team. So they've been on individually, and now they're on together because they've created a great app that was on the show a couple of weeks ago and kind of cleared the room in the arena that's focused.
Insane win.
Yes. Yeah. So, Ron, you have them both to thank.
We have
Francisco Franco on the show today, as well as Liam Spradlin. How are you guys doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. I'm glad to be back.
It's good to get you both on at the same time. We want to talk to you guys all about the new app that you're working on regularly and pushing out regular updates. I think you have an update today for Focus that's rolling out to users. But especially from the perspective of Liam, you do design, and Francisco, you are kind of the developer part of the team. So I don't know if we've had like a developer team on before.
I think we have. We've had a lot of designers. We've had a lot of developers. We've had a lot of like managers and stuff like that. But to hear the two people who are working together to create it, I think that's going to be an awesome perspective. So I can't wait to
create the app to catapulted
that
you to fame.
I rode a victory lap through the arena last week. So thank you, gentlemen. I do owe you both.
Yeah.
Next IO or something like that. Drinks on me. So there you go.
Take them up on it.
Yeah.
All right, aside from that awesome discussion, we're going to be discussing the official name of the next version of Android. Yeah, we know now. You probably do too, but I'm going to keep it a surprise for at least a few minutes. Samsung's new fleet of, newest fleet of their elite devices. Google's Creative Lab, kind of an interesting project going on around Android, just interesting Android apps that fall into their Creative Lab, and a whole lot more. But why waste any time just kind of dancing around? Let's get right to the news and talk about some new Android version stuff.
There's a lot of new Android stuff coming out. But remember when Google was just called Google? Android News remembers.
You almost got a spit Google? Take a spit take from Jason on that, by the way, Brian. So just, you know, there's the new bar.
I was watching.
Yeah.
I think it's your old-timey vocal fry that kind of gets me every
once in a while. Well, it's the old-timey vocal fry plus with the play on word. Like, yeah. Remember when, because when you say Google in the old-timey Google, it's very funny.
Yes. So, all right.
So big news, if you thought last week's news of Alphabet and Google becoming a company underneath Alphabet was big, now this is a little more specific to our world as we finally get the unveiling of what Android M actually means, what the dessert, and it is marshmallow. And what I was surprised by is that it's Android version 6.0.
Yeah.
So everybody seems to be hung up on the candy aspect. So what do we think of marshmallow as a name? Are we happy with marshmallow, or were you hoping for something like mint chip or
Francisco, let's start with you. What did you think? Were you hoping for something else?
I actually don't care that much.
Yeah, that was my other question was, does it really matter?
No, but I don't like the name that much. I would probably see like mango or something.
Mango.
I think marshmallow is too hard to pronounce.
Ah,
at least
okay.
To say it fast and in a discussion, marshmallow.
Marshmallow.
So, yeah, it is a mouthful.
Well, at least it's not macadamia nut cookie.
Right.
Which it was.
Which I heard was in the running. Heard,
it was kind of like in the testing, you know, the behind the scenes public facing thing.
Yeah.
Liam, do you care?
Honestly, I figured it would be marshmallow, but I thought that they would turn the Android's body into a marshmallow.
Yeah.
But I was hoping for a milkshake or macaron. But
who was it? Was Ron,
neither of those.
Ron Amadio posted a Android Safe Puff Marshmallow Man kind of hybrid, and he feels that was the no-brainer. Yeah, so the statue was a little green Android robot holding a marshmallow, not a Safe Puff Marshmallow Man.
Which
you thought would be, with the upcoming Ghostbusters movie, that would be a nice little tie-in, but it was probably a little too early.
It's interesting that marshmallow and lollipop, neither of them change the Android. They're both the Android holding the snack instead.
Interesting.
Are they running out of creative ways to...
Interesting. Because previously it was not that. I mean, I think they're trying to stick the Android guy as part of the branding.
Seriously, though, look at the marshmallow. It's the same like dimensions practically as the body and same
it's an
size.
Enormous
like just
marshmallow.
Just put it in there. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah,
but
That makes you wonder: is the marshmallow to scale or the Android robot to scale? Is the Android robot our size and that's an enormous marshmallow, or is the Android robot marshmallow size? These are important
and
questions.
And if marshmallow size is a big marshmallow or little marshmallow.
Right.
These are really important
all
questions.
All through the PR material from Google PR, and I did not see that. And so I'm going to send a note to them because clearly we have all the sway with them. but okay, well, less about the name and and more about the important things. The SDK and final preview began rolling out yesterday. So this is the final developer preview before the official release, which makes you got to think the official release is going to be a month or so away.
A month or two,
yeah.
They might... who knows? They might give it a couple of months, in between. But
So a couple of things to notice in this latest version: still no Now on Tap functionality. Apparently, they're saving it for the official release, which I find odd. But
they've been telling us that.
So the system UI tuner is now a hidden feature. You have to press and hold the system setting icon to activate the menu. And additionally, we got a new boot animation, which I believe we can show you all here. This is what it looks like when it boots up now. You can see it go again. You can see the full thing. Yeah,
all the important things.
The four colored dots, and then they all start moving and spiraling and doing their thing.
And all that stuff.
I bet it's going to spell Android.
That would be unprecedented, but I think you're right.
So, for me, the biggest question here is why the move to version 6.0? Francisco, do you think that this was a point? This is going to be a point version release. Were you surprised by the 6.0 designation?
By the features and the changes that they did, I think it shouldn't be 6.0. But I think it's more about marketing. And
interesting.
Just marketing, and I think the Lollipop release wasn't that. How should I say it? The public. Haven't seen Lollipop as a nice version because of all the changes and breakups and whatever. So I think it's just marketing.
a way for Google to kind of move on from
to put it behind them,
the rocky road that was that was not intentional, right? The rocky road that was Lollipop. Yeah. And we were talking prior to the show.
Thank you, Brian.
Now it sounds like it was intentional. We were talking before the show about kind of perception of Lollipop.
Yep.
I never really felt like Lollipop was like this buggy, crazy, you know, release that Google should feel shameful about. Yeah. You were saying the same, but there are a lot of people that apparently do.
I've been very, very happy with Lollipop, and I think that the UI changes that happened on Lollipop and the major kind of move forward from KitKat and the previous versions definitely demanded it to be version 5.0. But we're on, as far as updates go, we're on like, what, 5.1.1, right? We haven't even gotten more than a couple of point releases out. So Francisco might be right. I mean, version 6.0 might just be a marketing thing and catching up with, you know, the other operating systems that are out there and, you know, kind of, you know, similar to Windows, just skipping 9.
Right.
Yep. But the problem with Lollipop is that it took a lot of time for OEMs to catch up. And there's this whole memory leak stuff that everyone on the internet was talking about, which is overblown. Yep. But so the bad aspects, which were tiny, always get the best of it. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Very true.
Liam, what's your take on all this? Do you think it's justified to be 6.0?
I don't know. From a feature perspective, to me, it feels like something bigger than a 0.0.9 release. But at the same time, I feel like it is hard to talk about, you know, like 5.1.1 versus 5.2, or even like Jelly Bean spanning multiple 0. whatever releases. Like those releases are still significantly different, like in important ways. So it's, but when you're talking about that, like 4.1 versus 4.2 might not sound like a big difference. So yeah, I do think that changing it to 6.0 is probably has a lot to do with how people will talk about it. So marketing, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I was on Tech News Tonight yesterday with Megan. And we were talking about the numbering system, and I kind of forgot that there's really no rhyme or reason to the numbering system, and the dessert.
It really does kind of jump around.
Yeah.
I mean, and up until now, it's kind of seemed like the major point releases had something very visually tied into it.
Yeah.
But now that's kind of turning it upside down. You know, is it tied to the amount and significance of the API changes underneath the hood? Yep. Or does it just not matter? You know, like, does Google just not care? And hey, maybe if we're doing a revision to Android every year, it's always a point upgrade you know, going forward. Who knows?
I'm okay with that. But then the moment it takes longer than a year for the version that spills, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird because, you know, as users and stuff like that, we want to look for precedent. We want to look for a pattern and stuff like that. And there hasn't been any pattern going back to version, you know, as far back as I can remember. So, who knows?
So normally when we get an announcement of a new version, a new food, dessert, although someone on Twitter was actually a little upset about this. They said this isn't a dessert. This is an ingredient.
Yeah, I saw that. And it can be.
We're talking about all the really important stuff today, by the way. Okay.
Yeah. I also like the tone they took with it. It was the argument was that it's not a dessert. It's an agreement. And
ingredient.
Dakila Willa on Twitter said this. Uh-huh. In fact, he said Android M was named after an ingredient, not a dessert. Google screwed up. Yeah, Google screwed up.
Come on, who the hell cares?
I would also point to Honeycomb, which is not really a dessert or an ingredient. It's like an accessory to an ingredient.
So maybe maybe it's not necessarily dessert. It's just sweet stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Google's official take on it from one of those videos that came out about marshmallow was that it's actually just tasty treats, not specifically whole desserts. So. Yeah.
Okay, so when we get a new dessert, it's kind of customary on this show.
We celebrate.
To celebrate in some way. All right, you guys. Are you ready? I've got marshmallows. I've got graham crackers.
Oh, look at this.
I've got I really wanted to get gingerbread.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, right, because I've got Kit Kats.
Oh, look at that.
Tell me that this wouldn't be the best s'more in the whole dang world. I also have a flamethrower.
Is this safe?
No, it's not. But it's what we got. So while we continue here, I don't even. Oh, I'm up next.
I'll take the next story. I don't want any part of the fire. So I'll take the next story. I'll take all three.
I think it's just customary. I think we have to do this for science. Okay. So, yeah. Well, so you take the next story, and I'll
you do that. Okay. We'll talk about Google Play services. Because I know you're waiting for us to talk about Google Play Services 7.8, which has wrapped up its rollout. And with it, we got the mobile.
Got to figure out.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be.
It literally sounds like a flamethrower. And now the marshmallow's on fire.
That's how you get the nice and crispy. This is how you do it. All right. So then you take. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
It wasn't s'mores. It was just marshmallow.
No, but I'm celebrating previous versions as well. Really, honestly, I just wanted a reason to do it. It sounded like a good idea. There's nothing wrong with this. You guys would do it if you had all these ingredients.
Right. So Google Play Services 7.8 now features Mobile Vision API, which allows for face detection using the face API from all different angles. And if a person has their eyes closed versus open or frowning versus smiling, also barcodes can be detected using the API. So put a barcode on your face. Google Cloud Messaging now allows prioritized notifications, which is good for things like chat messages and incoming voice calls. The new Nearby Messages API allows for users to find devices and share messages between multiple devices via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi to exchange the data. And ultrasonic sounds can also be used. So you guys, Francisco and Liam, you guys are developers. Is this how closely do you pay attention to the Google Play service updates when they happen?
Well, I'm not a developer, but I'm still really excited about this release because Nearby, we talked about it like a long time ago on Android Police, and it's finally here. And I feel like it has the potential to enable some really awesome features for Android. And the fact that they open it up to third-party apps is really cool. So that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot of stuff that can – cool stuff can be done with.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the supersonic sounds is something that we already saw in Chromecast that, like, surprisingly few people seem to talk about. But it's so cool that you can authenticate devices using sound. And so it works across Android and iPhone, and now anybody can use that.
Yeah, that is super awesome. Francisco, there's regularly these updates to Play services, and obviously they pack, you know, a lot of like APIs, brand new APIs and all that kind of stuff. From a developer standpoint, when this happens as frequently as they do, are you always kind of taking a close look at those new APIs and figuring out, or, you know, how you integrate that? Or is that just something that kind of, it makes sense, it's obvious when there's a natural fit?
I don't have a huge fit for Play services on my apps. Mm-hmm. I think I only use the Play Games services on the updater app. So I don't follow that much what they do on the services. I don't care, to be honest. But... that's for me. I'm sure there's a lot of developers that care about the location stuff. It's pretty useful.
Yeah.
I think I don't know the details, but Ron was just talking about that there's a new feature which devices can talk to each other. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think that will be good when this Internet of Things ships. So at least developers already have an API and can play with it and maybe get things going.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I don't know the details. I just what makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, you got to assume that all these pieces are kind of building to work together and getting devices to talk to each other through whichever different ways that they can is a key part of, you know, both, you know, whether it's Internet of Things or IoT based or even just, you know, innovative future kind of technologies, which mm-hmm. is kind of cool. So, mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, as a non-developer, I see the updates come through on Play services, and a lot of times I have a hard time understanding how they can be put into place. But I imagine, you know, as a developer, that's just your toolbox has increased.
And as Francisco,
it's cool that they're coming out as regularly as they are.
As Francisco noted, you don't need to use them.
Right.
I mean, they're totally optional. They're there to be used, but you can roll your own thing too.
Right. Because they might not fit into a gallery app, let's say.
Every Google app on your device is tied to the services. Mm-hmm. But as a developer standpoint, you still have to include the SDK on your apps so that SDK and your apps can talk to the Play Services app and framework that's installed on your device. So I think as a user, you don't need to pay that much attention to it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's cool to know what the capabilities are, though. You know what I mean? Knowing what the tangible other side of that is the hard part as a user. And yeah, probably not worth thinking about because it'll just be baked into features, you know, sometime in the future. And you probably, as a user, you might not ever know that it's tied to Google Play Services 7.8, you know, API update, whatever.
As a user, I think you just have to be concerned that the Play Services don't waste your battery.
That's true.
That's the only thing that's important, in my opinion.
And that was one of the biggest complaints about Lollipop going into it. We heard about the battery drain and what was causing the battery to drain out so fast and all that sort of stuff. So, absolutely. So,
now speaking of connected, Internet of Things and all that kind of stuff, Google suddenly announced this morning the new On Hub. It's a $199 Wi-Fi router and home communication hub. It was built by, Google's Chrome and Google Access teams. Google Access is responsible for Google Fiber. The hardware is actually built. The hardware is actually done by TP-Link. And Asus also has an on-hub device coming soon as well. It's controlled by an app that's actually on iOS as well as Android called Google On. The on-hub supports 802.11 A, B, G, N, A, C. It also supports Bluetooth 4.0 and a number of smart home protocols like Android's Weave. That was shown off at I/O along with Brillo. And then also Zigbee is supported. No Z-Wave, which from what I understand is kind of the most popular smart home protocol at the moment. So, but cool.
Yeah,
$199 is not inexpensive for a router, I guess. But
it's
a nice looking router.
Yeah, I mean, you can get
as far as routers go, it's a nice looking router.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a decent router for sub $100. You can get a really good one. I mean, a friend of mine was buying one and was asking me which one he should get, and I was looking at ones in the $300-$400 range. So it's in there. I think it's on the higher end. What I found interesting about this is that the cylindrical shape. I mean, it looks like an Amazon Echo.
Yeah,
when I first saw it, I was like, oh, are they doing that? Yeah. But Google says the cylindrical shape is going to allow for better Wi-Fi penetration throughout a home. It's actually got 13 antennas in that cylinder, mm-hmm. Which is a lot of antennas and my lucky number. What I think is even more interesting about this is that it's not built at a Nest.
Mm-hmm.
This was not anything to do with Nest. It was and you'd think that this would be the kind of thing the Nest group would be working on.
No kidding.
I don't know,
no
you're
kidding,
right? Yeah, so... I thought that was curious. So it's neat, though. I'm considering it because as we were talking about in the pre-show, I have a router that's 7 years old and it might be time to upgrade. And this looks pretty cool.
That's like 500 years in router years.
Yeah, exactly.
If you
figure
the math out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interest either of you guys thinking about rushing out and buying this amazing Wi-Fi router?
I don't think I'm going to rush out and buy it, but I do think it's interesting that just when everybody had decided that Nest was Google's hardware division, that a completely different team comes out with a piece of hardware that ostensibly nobody had any idea was coming. Yep. I mean, it looks cool, though.
It just goes to show how, I don't want to use the term splintered, Alphabet's infrastructure is. And, probably a huge part of why Alphabet exists, right? Yeah. Because they have all these teams that don't really talk to each other about these things. Or if they do, it doesn't seem like they do because they seem to cross paths. And I guess from a marketing standpoint, from a consumer standpoint, it can be kind of confusing. But I guess it doesn't matter if it has Google's name on it and its hardware.
I mean, it's a massive organization, so you're always going to have that. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. But as I predicted the acquisition of Nest by Google, remember I called that? I'm willing to go on record that I believe that Google will sell Nest at some point in the next year or so.
I think they're going to Motorola Nest.
They're going to Motorola Nest.
You think so?
I think so.
Even though Nest is now responsible for glass?
That's a good point.
And maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that the fact that they mentioned it, they spun it out at the Alphabet level, and it's its own business unit and all that sort of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep the glass stuff and sell off the thermostat and the drop cam. So
they could. I mean, because they did keep ATAP for Motorola, so they could always spin it right back out.
Yeah, my gut is telling me that the Nest acquisition is not going as they'd hoped. It's not going as well as they wanted it to. The lack of Nest being talked about in the IoT.
I was
going to
say, you know, it was hot on the press for a long time.
Yeah, it was sexy. It was ex-Apple. It was beautiful.
It was connected, done well.
Until the smoke detector.
Right.
And the smoke detector kind of blew things up. The drop cam acquisition was all right, but it's not awesome. I mean, like, do you feel as if you need the Nest cam? Like, I don't see people running out for the Nest cam. I just feel as if it's not going the way they thought it would go for whatever reason. Who knows? I have no information about it. I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to if they sell it off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So I'm gonna save my s'more because I feel like anytime I'm gonna eat it, it's actually gonna slow things down. But I have it made and it looks delicious, and I'm just really curious to know what a s'more made with a Kit Kat is.
I'm gonna wait till after the show for my s'more.
But it was fun.
The marshmallows are good. Although they're all one big marshmallow.
That's the
now.
Problem. That's the problem. You can't make it rain with marshmallows.
Yeah, I thought we'd have like a marshmallow party, but they're all stuck together. That's right. That's what happens in August.
I will find time to eat this. Don't you worry. Just maybe not right now. Ron's going to find time right now.
I literally have not eaten a marshmallow since like the 90s.
Looks like you're treating marshmallow like a dessert and not an ingredient.
I am. It's just not an ingredient.
Okay, so hey, let's talk a little bit about Focus. So obviously fans of this show are no stranger to Focus. You guys voted for it, and I think it won like 80-something percent compared to, you know, versus three other apps in the arena. So it was a landslide victory there. And that's, you know, partially that's just because it's a great app, and you guys did a fantastic job developing it. So thought maybe we could take a few minutes to just kind of talk about the process of developing the way that you have. Obviously, you guys, proximity-wise, you're not in the same location. Francisco, remind us where you are located and Liam, and how you kind of, you know, use that location to not complicate the process, I suppose, being removed from each other.
I live in Portugal, in Lisbon, so it's about 6 hours difference, 5-6 hours difference from where Liam is right now. Speaking for myself, I think it's no problem.
So I'm in New York, and the time difference basically just means that Francisco never sleeps. That's how we keep our communication on track.
Perfect. That's not too much to ask either, to just not sleep at all. Francisco, what time is it in Portugal right now?
Almost 2 a.m.
Oh,
wow. We're sorry.
This is normal, right? You don't sleep, so it's no big deal. So
I sleep, but not as much as the other people.
So does that create complications for you having to kind of work on such a wide-ranging scale, developing with another person to create an app like this?
Not really. I think after Focus, I will never work without a designer again. Never again. So because it's for me, I just have to ask him for a specific layout or a screen or some dimensions or metrics, and he does it for me, and I just have to implement it. So I don't have to think about both aspects, and it's just so easy. Mm-hmm. It's way easier.
And I think it helps too that you know, we will chat live to talk about like product decisions or features or something like that, or if Francisco needs something. But otherwise, it can be kind of an asynchronous process. You know, like I'll come up with designs, and then whenever our time syncs up, then present those. We can talk about it, you know, and then Francisco does his part, and then we come back together.
So what, and I'm fascinated by process and tools and things like that. So Liam, are you doing like Photoshop mock-ups and sending them to Francisco, or are you doing some sort of rapid prototyping through another set of tools? Like, what? How are you communicating your designs to him for implementation?
I primarily use Illustrator. That's what I'm most comfortable with. Sometimes I use Zeppelin, which is a really cool tool for you. Basically, export mock-ups from Sketch, and then it automatically has specs. We haven't used that for Focus, I don't think. So yeah, really, it's just Illustrator, and you know, I try to use very like a limited set of measurements. Essentially, like the app, the way that the app is designed, it only requires a few different measurements. So yeah, it's pretty easy to communicate that just by marking up the mockups.
Right. What was that name of the other tool aside from Illustrator that you use, but not with this project?
Oh, Zeppelin.
Zeppelin? Okay, cool.
Yeah. They just released version 1.0 a few weeks ago. Yeah.
And what exactly is Zeppelin? I don't know if I've ever heard of this tool.
So it's a tool for developers and designers where you use Sketch and export to Zeppelin. So it takes your artboards and automatically you tell it what platform your project is on. So for Android, for instance, and I target XXH DPI in my mockups. So it knows that, and then it automatically has all the measurements and stuff between elements that a developer can look at. And it'll also pick up all of the colors that you use and typography. So you can save those things into a guidebook, which can output like some basic XML stuff.
Tools have gotten really pretty.
I mean, they've come a long way.
Well,
I was going to say, like it's really funny because I had a conversation earlier today. I actually tweeted about it. I was at lunch with a couple of friends, and one of them happened to be a designer who was, let's say, younger than me. So young, in fact, that when I was recounting my tales of doing web development in the late 90s, and I told him, I was like, yeah, well, this was before CSS. He looked at me like I was crazy because he did not quite understand that there was a world before CSS that actually, you know. And then he's like, well, how did you position things and do stuff? And I started explaining about tables and frames and things like that. And it blew his mind. And to think, like, when I started my career in the late 90s compared to the tools that we have now, like, they're just amazing. Yeah. Just like, yeah, that's
really come a long way.
If you go into Illustrator right now and open up some project or artboard and you press Control Y, that's what it brings up. Basically, it turns off preview mode. So it's kind of like a wireframe. That's what Illustrator used to look like all the time.
Yeah. Yep. So. I remember those days. Illustrator still scares me because of those days, in fact.
Right. You're emotionally scarred. This kind of goes to both of you. I imagine there's got to be a little bit of kind of blurring of the lines when you're working as a team, right? Like, I could be an excellent designer. I could have a really great eye for design. But if I don't understand kind of the limitations of the UI and you know, the how it operates underneath, that can hinder me, right? Do you have a lot, Liam, when you got into designing UI like this, I imagine you started just, you know, interested in design outside of that to begin with, and then you had to learn kind of how the UI works. How the operating system works in order to make it applicable?
Yeah, I think that's a really critical piece for any designer who wants to do interactive design or design for a device, is educating yourself about the limitations of the platform and being aware of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could come up with insane concepts, and I totally have sent Francisco like insane animation ideas that just aren't really possible. But just, you know, having a basic understanding of like where the limitations might be or what the stumbling blocks might be is super important to working effectively with a developer as a designer.
Right. Not wasting your time. And then I imagine it kind of works in the opposite direction too for you, Francisco. Of course, you've developed apps and taken care of design as well. And like you were just saying a few minutes ago, you'll never work without a designer again. Why is that? What was different before versus now that's so impactful on your process?
Just finishing Liam's thought right just now, I think the hardest thing you can come up with and for me to implement it is animations. I'm not very good with animations, and I think the whole API that Google gives us, it's not easy to perform at least the animations he wants me to do. So I have a hard time with that. But I think we ended up with a compromise, and I asked him not to overdo them because it takes me a lot of time, and sure, the finished process might not be what he wanted, and I won't be satisfied as well. So I think that's the hardest thing. Apart from that, I think we haven't hit any roadblock about that blur. Mm-hmm. About your question, I don't know, really. I think not having to think about the whole design process and just installing Photoshop and having to do everything myself and sometimes asking an icon here and an icon there to some of the designers. I think it just saves me time, and I have more time to implement my stuff, and it's like being free. Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's your strengths.
It's a whole half of the project that you don't have to worry about. I mean, it's truly the front end look and feel. You have someone as talented as Liam doing that, and you can focus on making it fast. And so that's really so getting into the Focus app for those who didn't watch a couple weeks ago when I showed it off in the arena, and then it eventually won by a landslide. Focus is a great app to manage your photos on your phone. And one of the great things that blew me away about it, Francisco, was the speed of which they were able to load on the main screen, how you were able to get every photo on my device on that screen without any lag. So not to give away the secret sauce, but how did you do that?
I think it's not secret sauce, but I've wasted a lot of time looking at the layout. I don't remember the name, but that's a tool by the SDK where you can see which measure or every view on the screen, how much time it takes to draw and execute. And I've wasted a lot of time just looking one by one and trying to see where I was wasting more time. And I don't know, just doing a lot of measurement. And I think that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
There's no real secret.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't write everything myself. I used some libraries like Glide to load the images on the background and having a cache, et cetera. So that also helps me. But there's a lot of work to do on measurements of all the views and et cetera.
Yeah. Well, you did a great job on it, that's for sure.
Yeah, one of the last questions I have is, I have to imagine, because we were all following Google I.O. pretty closely, when Google Photos unveiled at I.O., was that a moment of like, aha, opportunity, or uh-oh, like this thing we've been working on? Because I have to imagine at this point you guys have been working pretty hard on what you were working on, and now suddenly here comes Google's next photo effort, which effectively replaces their previous photo effort and brings it kind of up to date in it from a design perspective, and brings along some extra functionality that you have to kind of pay attention to with yours. Did that freak you out at all?
For me, I wasn't freaked out because for one thing, a weak point of Photos even today is handling on-device photos, so locally stored photos, because from a product perspective, it seems like Google really wants to push having your entire cloud archive available on every device, which is why that's what you see when you open the app, and that's why the search button is a floating action button, et cetera. So the experience for looking at your on-device photos is still not that great. And even if it were, there's no perfect product, right? So there's always going to be opportunities for us to do things that are better than what they do, basically.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, I think when Photos was launched, we were already in about a month in the design process and the development process, and it was just basically what Liam said, and we can iterate much faster than Google, and we don't have any corporate deciding what we should do, and we have a lot of users that gives us ideas and I think it's easy for us to just have a great solution that works just alongside Google Photos, because we can't ever compete with their cloud-based service, and it's impossible. So I think if we offer an awesome offline experience with good features, I think we can live just side-by-side with Google Photos.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing. I mean, I remember when I was doing the demo in the arena, was some folks in the chat room were saying, well, how is this better than Google Photos or whatever? And now it's been 2 or 3 weeks, and I've got my folder of my cameras, and I've got a bunch of different apps to manage the photos, and I'm, you know, it's kind of like the cream rises to the top. I'm going to Focus more often than I'm going to Google Photos, and I'm interacting with Focus more often than any other kind of management app, you know, because it's allowed, because I'm not a big cloud guy. Like, I want the photos on my device, and it's, you know, it's definitely filling that niche. And I definitely don't think, I think it's can run complementary to Google Photos. It's not a redundancy at all. So,
right. Yeah. Right. Well, cool stuff. Obviously, you guys are doing a great job. And yeah, you were saying iterate faster. I feel like you guys have updates every single week, and that's awesome, because you're addressing the issues that have come up and adding new features and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. Certainly the users of your app appreciate that kind of attention.
Well, but there's a balance, because we cannot just push updates every day or every two days. Uh-huh. Because users will go, oh, one star. Stop the updates and that stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
So we cannot just push everything that we want. But yeah, I think that's the secret.
Yeah.
Iterating faster and keeping users happy, and that's it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job. Really, really, really happy that you can come on the show and talk about it, and that we can kind of shed more light on it.
So people should go to the Google Play Store and search for Focus, and it's in there. It's free with a couple of in-app purchases, and we strongly recommend you take advantage of those in-app purchases and help these great, talented designer and developer keep working on it. So,
right. As any developer on the Play Store that you like their app, if you're using it all the time, hey, pay him some dough.
The price points are expensive. So low.
Yeah,
like that's I mean, like I know it comes from kind of rarefied air, and like I live in San Francisco and all stuff like that. But like it's like a 99 cents, $3, whatever. These are like the cost of it. Like, how much do you pay for whatever you drink at Starbucks? You hear it all the time, but like I see people paying $7-$8 for a dumb drink from McDonald's. You know, send a couple bucks to developers. It's only fair.
Agreed. Yeah. Cool. So we're going to talk about a whole lot more. We got a lot more hardware news, especially coming up here in a second. But let's thank the first sponsor of today's episode. Super excited to welcome back to the show. It's been a while. 99 Designs. And yes, this is just a great way to get people working for you to present design ideas for whatever your project happens to be. Your logo is the face of your business, whether you plan to interact with, you know, your customers in store or online. You're going to need great branding, and it's going to set you apart from the others and help you, you know, gain new customers, basically. Bad branding is going to do the opposite. It's going to drive them away. So you want to get a high-quality logo, you know, that's important to signing a lease for your office. Whatever the case may be, it's an investment you can actually afford when you work with 99 Designs. They have logo designs that start at just $299. When we were starting out, you know, we needed a logo, some sort of a visual identity, you know, business cards, website, domain. 99 Designs does all that. Here at TWiT, we've used 99 Designs for, you know, designing, doing contests for some of our apparel and shirts and all this kind of stuff. And we've released so many of these logos on our own clothes to fans. And they've just, you know, you guys have loved the designs that we put out. That came from 99 Designs. Super cool. Best part is you get to choose from dozens of custom options. So basically, you put out the contest, essentially, and you say, this is what I'm looking for. Talented designers from all over the world hop onto that and do their best to kind of, you know, work with you and you with them to give them the information they need. And then you end up with a sea of choices, and you can pick the one that works best for you and move along with that person and their design. The process is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You'll get a great design, something that you love, or you'll get your money back. And yeah, it's just a really unique, cool way to get great designs for whatever you happen to be doing. 99 Designs makes it easy to get your business off the ground, high quality, affordable designs. And what you can do to check it out, just go to 99designs.com/twit. That'll get you started today. And we've got a free $99 upgrade for fans of Twit. 99 Designs will highlight your project listing. They'll bump it up to the top and feature it on their blog. And, you know, on average, this results in more than twice as many designs for you to choose from on your project. This upgrade is added on for free when you start your project by going to 99designs.com/twit. That's 99designs.com/TWIT to check it out and get started for yourself. Super cool to have them back on the network. And we thank 99 Designs for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. Great to have you back. All right, a few cool things in hardware this week. Let's take a look.
I was so upset to have missed the Samsung Unpacked event.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I was thinking of you at 8 a.m. on Thursday.
Wasn't so bad. I wake up way earlier than that normally on any given day, kids. But, yes, so I was here on set for the event with Russell Hawley of Android Central and Nicole Lee of Engadget. We had a great time. And, man, Samsung, they really tame things down. They've done a really good job the last few times of just sticking to the information.
You mean they learned after the Broadway fanfare a couple of years ago that I'll never forget or forgive them for?
I mean, we'll never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget. Never forget. So let's see here. So the two big devices to come from the announcement, the Galaxy Note 5 and the Galaxy S6 Edge Plus, both are almost identical in specs, aside from a few key differences. Both running an Exynos 7420 processor, both with 4 gigs of RAM. A lot of storage options, 32, 64, 128 gigs on the Note, and then 32 and 64 on the Edge Plus. 5.7-inch Super AMOLED display. The Galaxy S6 Edge Plus obviously has the dual Edge display for the Edge line. 16-megapixel rear-facing camera with optical image stabilization, 5-megapixel front-facing. 3,000 milliamp hour non-removable battery. So non-removable here. Also, no micro SD card slot. Running 5.1 Lollipop. You know, both have the fingerprint reader. The Note has the S Pen, kind of an improved S Pen with the curve on the back, not on the front. So they got a curve there.
they're working
just on the other side.
Listen, it's working. Put more curves on. Make it curvy.
The Note 5 has a really cool feature where you can write on the screen, on the standby screen.
Oh, really?
So even when it's off, you just go, oh man, I need to jot this down. You don't have to like wake it up or anything. Yeah. You just pull your thing out, your S Pen out, and start writing, and it files it away and it lights up. And because of Super AMOLED, only the pixels that you're drawing actually light up.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So very cool stuff there. There's also a scroll capture to screenshot an entire scrolled web page.
Finally. Finally.
Which I suppose has its uses, but I thought that was interesting. And both can live stream to YouTube. And I don't know why we can't all live stream to YouTube. Maybe the 4 gigs of RAM is part of the requirement for that. But
video streaming is that's processor drains it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. So, yeah. But I mean, everybody can Meerkat and Periscope. Yeah. Why can't you? Right. Anyways. It's coming to the S6 and the S6 Edge as well, eventually. So cool phone hardware there. Either of you guys, Liam, Francisco, I guess it would actually be Liam because Francisco, I'm not sure what the worldwide availability of the Note 5 is, and I can't believe that I'm saying that, but in the UK, the Note 5 is not going to be released from what I understand. So I don't know what that means outside of the UK and elsewhere outside of the US. But if it's available, are either of these phones interesting to you?
Can I curse on the show?
I would prefer you not.
It's a family show, Francisco.
We'll beep it out.
Okay, so I don't give a crap about those devices.
This seems to be a theme, I think.
I really like how brazen Francisco is. I'm a big fan.
Because who cares? Like, come on, Samsung, just do something different. And that battery size, that UI, come on. This is why I use an iPhone.
Hold a little bit of a grudge for Samsung with TouchWiz, it sounds like, right?
I don't know, just enough is enough.
What phone are you using right now?
I'm using an iPhone.
An iPhone,
because of that. and a lot more. But there's no innovation. I don't know. Sometimes I think Android, at least from the OEM's standpoint, just more of the same. So nothing really pulls me to buy a different device other than a Nexus. Mm-hmm. And I'm using an iPhone now just because.
Do you have a Nexus? I imagine you probably have a Nexus to test your apps and stuff.
Nexus 6 and 5 and 4 and Galaxy Nexus and et cetera.
I'm very curious because I know other people that are watching are probably very curious as well. Is the iPhone a new addition to being your daily driver, or have you been an iOS user for a while now?
When I was working in the US, I used an iPhone 5 because I was doing a lot of Android testing, and I didn't want to use the same phone that I was testing stuff mm-hmm. as my daily driver. So I used it for a while, then I came back and I changed to Android again. And since a couple of months ago, I'm back on iPhone 6 because I just want to take good pictures and I want a good battery life. I just want the GPS to work and basically it just works when I want it to. Wi-Fi is amazing, 4G is amazing. I don't use many apps, so as long as it works when I need to, like the GPS, it always works. I mean, always, instantly, anywhere. So I think that's what counts for me right now.
Fair enough. I mean, usability actually matters. And if a device or hardware that you're using isn't working consistently, would you say that using the iPhone has addressed all the complaints that you've had about using Android lately? Or are there any issues there?
Not really, because the device always works. I don't have to restart it all the time. And my main gripe with Android, at least the Nexus 6 that I was using before, one time I was just using the GPS to find a restaurant, and I was in the broad daylight, high accuracy, everything turned on, 4G, Wi-Fi, whatever, and I just couldn't lock it. And I was like 15 minutes waiting, just lock. And I couldn't just figure out where I was going because it was stuck. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty pissed, and I thought, okay, I'm buying an iPhone after lunch, and here we go. And that was the major complaint for me, and it's fixed. And now with the iOS 8, apps can talk to each other just like Android, so I don't have any complaint.
Yeah,
actually, so that's why I don't care about Samsung Note 30, OnePlus 10, whatever. Just I don't care.
It sounds like you were like over Android or something.
No. I love the platform. I love the platform, but the devices are not exciting me right now. So
okay, fair enough.
That's a real interesting perspective, though, to love the platform, to love programming, developing for it, but the devices being the hindrance. And like the thing is, going back, I mean, the GPS thing, I've personally never had a problem with the GPS, but who knows? There are lots of different variables that happen with that.
I have it every time I use this one. Now, granted, this is a phone you've probably never, ever heard of by a brand you've probably never heard of that I'm kind of playing around with. But it's been a bitter pill when you go from something that you're used to that you can depend on, which personally I feel like I can depend on my Nexus 6. Yeah. And I don't know if it's a regional thing. Here I feel like it does a pretty darn good job and it's pretty stable for me, and I know that I get out of it what I want out of it. But to go back and to use hardware that does not is a really frustrating experience. And what it makes me realize is that so many people, their introduction to Android are devices like this that are very inexpensive. And you're like, oh, yeah, but it surfs the internet, it does all the things that all the other phones do. But that price, at least in this situation, comes at a cost. Like if I ever use a GPS on this, it takes a minute and a half to locate signal.
Jeez.
And then when it does, it's like two streets north or whatever. And so my GPS is all, and that's just one of the many issues. But as a consumer, if that was my first experience with Android, you better believe I'd be jumping ship as soon as I could, because I would believe that that's the way it is on all other devices. And I personally, I don't believe that. I think there are good devices to jump to.
Yeah. And I mean, absolutely. And then also the point that Francisco made about the camera. I mean, like I'm someone who has been increasingly frustrated with the lack of decent camera and photos that I take with my Nexus 5, and I can't wait to get a next iteration of a phone and get a better camera and call up there. And I hear other people make that complaint. Luckily, I don't care that much about my photos, but if I was really into photography, I don't know if I'd be singing a different tune. So,
But it's not just about the picture quality. It's I can take 100 pictures with iPhone, and all the 100 pictures are, I don't mean perfect, but they look nice.
Yeah.
And
oh, there's a difference, yeah.
It just works instantly. I don't know how to explain it. It just never fails.
Yeah.
It's just there when I need it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to say, we dodged a bullet by not having Miriam here today either, so that's good. Because it would have been an iPhone photo party.
That's okay. No, I think
it's an interesting thing.
I think in this world of Android / iOS, I think it's very, and you see it all the time on the internet where people just draw a line in the sand. They're like, no, I will not. I'm an Android fan, and heck no, the other side sucks. But yeah. I think the important thing is use what works for you.
Yeah.
Period. Yep. If right now Android does not work for you and the iPhone does work for you, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Just use what works.
I don't even know what show I'm on anymore.
I know. I just gotta say, like, I don't think I could. I mean, the lockdown iOS, I like being able to just plug a USB cable into my phone and be able to get to the file system, and like those are all the things that are important to me, and I could do them on Android.
Wait a second. How often do you do that?
Maybe every other day.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay. Yep. Okay. But that lockdown thing that people just think that iOS is locked down. Come on, you're not flashing ROMs every day or running Exposed or whatever crap kernels or whatever.
True. So that's true. That's
the phone that works reliably.
Sure.
That's true. But the fact that you have the option. And is the illusion of freedom that I'm attracted to.
But you have freedom. I think it's a different conversation, of course. But like Jason said, if it works for you, Android, Windows Phone, we have so much choice. Yes. I think it's good for the world. We have the choice. So no need to be pissed about Android or iOS. Just use whatever. If you have the money to buy it, then just use whatever you want.
Yeah,
I think that's the message.
And I'll tell you, don't use the new phone.
All right, well, that's good.
That's a preview of my review here soon.
Anything else come out of this Samsung news?
Yeah, really?
Not about hardware, maybe. What about a service?
A keyboard case for your for the Note.
Okay. What about Samsung Pay? Did they talk about Samsung Pay at all?
Yeah, by the way, take a look at this.
Oh, look at that. Oh, that's a case with the keyboard on it?
Yeah, the keyboard actually folds around to the back like that. And it's actually a capacitive keyboard, so it's not like transferring Bluetooth. Right. It actually sets on top of the on-screen keyboard, and when you push the buttons,
you've got to be kidding me. Seriously? And that's a branded accessory from Samsung?
Yep.
That sounds like something they'd sell at CES in the back corner part, where it's like, and you snap on this keyboard, and it's,
You know, it didn't get very favorable.
Because it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
I wouldn't want that.
It's interesting because, ostensibly, they wanted to satisfy the crowd who's still gunning for phones with physical keyboards. But this keyboard is such a compromise because it's literally just a flat thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you might as well be touching the screen yourself.
I guess they're spooked about the rumors of BlackBerry moving to Android, and so they want to get ahead of it. That's a dumb... What about Samsung Pay? Is that ever happening?
Launching in the U.S. on September 28th, all carriers except... for Verizon, will support Samsung Pay on these devices at launch. The S6 and the S6 Edge will get a software update for compatibility soon. Well, probably before that date. So,
but
Samsung
Pay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go for it.
I was going to say that we forgot to ask Liam what he thinks about the Note and the Edge. So I'm curious to see, Liam, what do you think about the Note 5 and the Edge Plus?
Yes, I'm curious too, suddenly.
On the spot, Mr. Spradlin.
I think I think Francisco and I might have talked about it privately while I was at the event, but it might sound cliche to this point, but they were exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
The S6 Edge Plus is a giant S6 Edge. Note 5 is a slightly larger S6 plus a clicky pen. So I know that there's definitely a contingent of people out there who love the S Pen and who love the Note series, but even just judging from comments on Android Police and stuff, people who are Note 4 owners are not necessarily thrilled by the Note 5 either, just because for them it doesn't seem to offer that big of a step up, especially when you take away things like the removable battery and the SD card, which are two things that a lot of Samsung fans have been fans of Samsung for so long.
Yeah, right. And I mean, really, at this point, those are pretty much out the door on all their premium
and
devices.
I think Samsung Pay is interesting because it makes me wonder if mobile payments will ever become like a truly pervasive thing, just because I was thinking about it. And like, so yes, Samsung Pay can work with Magstripe readers, but there's still so many stores and restaurants that take your card and swipe it for you on some machine on the counter or on their point of sale device or something, that I feel like if I just hand them my Note 5, they're going to be like, what am I supposed to do with this? And then, I tell them like, oh, just kind of like hold it next to the thing, and then it like won't work, and it's just confusion that I don't know if people are ready to like be so bold as to just be like, oh, just hold this next to your point of sale and it'll work.
That's the big obstacle for all these online payments.
I hadn't considered that kind of scenario, but I suppose that would be the same for any mobile payment.
I mean, I've had that exact conversation in Walgreens trying to pay with Google Wallet. They literally, the person behind the counter says, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to pay you. It says here, I could do it. And So
even like Google's hands-free thing that they demoed, which I think is like McDonald's in San Francisco is the first partner or something like that, where you just say, I want to pay with Google. Yeah. Like they are going to need so much training with partners in order to get people to know what that means. Like if I just say I want to pay with Google, and people who are new or who haven't been trained properly in it are going to be like, okay, so where's your money? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
What does that mean?
So it's just definitely
they'll drop your device, and then they crack the screen, and then whose fault is it? Is the company, the employee, and you're screwed.
Yep. It's definitely going to it's an obstacle that I'm watching with a close eye to see how it develops and all that stuff. But moving on, another thing that I'm watching with a close eye has been Project Aura, which is something I'm very excited about. So whenever there's Project Aura news, I always stand at attention to look to see what it is, because I can't wait to see what it is. And unfortunately, this time, it wasn't good news. Through a series of tweets, Project Aura let you know that if you were planning to camp out in Puerto Rico waiting for the first test release of Project Aura that Google talked about months ago, call off your trip. Google is delaying the release to 2016, and they're looking for a U.S. location to launch, so they said on Twitter. Google blames, and I quote, lots of iterations, more than we thought. Good for them for being honest. Good for them for being transparent. Honestly, I'm not surprised. I feel like of all projects, with this being so experimental and as crazy as what they're doing, I would expect it to have some delays. But I'll be patient. I feel like this is going to be one worth waiting for.
Yeah, I feel like the delay tweets, the announcement was so unceremonious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they used a hashtag to explain why they were going to be late, which is just hilarious. But I thought that they had kind of like set themselves to a very strict schedule about when this thing had to launch. But I guess if it takes longer than they expect, they don't necessarily want to drop the whole project. So,
right.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like the name Project shows you that this is an experiment. This is it's not totally consumer product. So I expect these kind of delays and these sort of like rethinking and what they're going to do, as long as it's still going, because everything I see of it, I'm fascinated by. So
yeah, especially with Alphabet and everything, I feel like 2015 is the year of Project at Google. Like,
yep.
There's so many things labeled Project.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, how about we move into the rumor category, just because it's fun. A couple of Nexus rumors here, at least a couple of pictures. Number one, the LG Nexus phone appears in a supposed close-up snap. Actually, we saw a couple of these. This is one of them. Of the backside of the phone, you can see a fingerprint reader there. A kind of a bulging out camera up there. Kind of looks like some Lumia phones that I know I've seen before. Dual LED. Looks, the 5.2-inch kind of size looks pretty... I mean, it's hard to tell from a photo, but it looks like it could be about that. Another leak by OnLeaks shows the same device in black. That's the second link in the doc there. Yeah, so those kind of lined up.
Right. The white one had the LG label, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... proving the, or not proving, but backing up the theory that it would be LG again.
Although there are rumors of Huawei,
right? That's the second. Basically, the big rumor here, the rumor mill is saying that there would be two,
and so moving in that direction. OnLeaks also let out a video. Now, this is a render video that was created based on some blueprints that were sent to accessory manufacturers. So take from that what you will. if this was actually rendered from blueprints, then this could be. Looks something like the Huawei Nexus 6. Again, the fingerprint reader on the back, as you can see there. The color scheming wouldn't be right because they just had to guess on that.
It's the setup for that sounds like a bad comedian. It's like, we got some blueprints to what the Nexus 6, and we think it might look a little something like this.
Right? Well, I suppose it depends on how exact the blueprints end up being when they send it to manufacturers. But
pretty nice rendering.
I can imagine, it looked like a nice rendering. But anyways, take from that what you will. Both apparently have USB-C, although it kind of sounds like USB-C in the OnePlus 2.
Yep.
Not a big deal. I get it on Thursday. I get the OnePlus 2.
Ooh, I can't wait.
So
I can't wait to see it.
Looking forward to that.
Cool.
But before we move on, Brian, I hope your finger is ready on the TriCaster. I hate to say it, but we've got some breaking news.
I was not prepared for what I just witnessed. I did not know what power I wielded by pushing that button.
Yeah, you had no idea.
I think we need to see it again. I'm sorry. I need to analyze that a little closer.
Prepare your bodies.
Wow. Well, I like how we went from the doo-wop.
Yes.
You know, kind of the 50s of the old lollipop, and now we're into the K-pop kind of the more...
Hey,
you go
where the dessert takes you. Exactly. Or sorry, where the ingredient takes you.
All right. What is the breaking news?
it almost pales in comparison, to be honest.
To the bumper, yeah.
Silent Circle has their Black Phone 2, the follow-up to their Black Phone, apparently landing, releasing in September. Let's see here. We don't have an exact date beyond that, but September 2015. If you're security minded, that's kind of what the Black Phone is all about. Yep. Lots of encryption going on underneath, and they really try and kind of lock it down and make it a super secure device. So if that's important to you, Black Phone 2.
And
September.
What colors?
I don't know.
It's a bad joke.
Oh, okay.
The black phone.
I don't know.
It's a black phone. It's literally, look at it. It's a black phone.
Maybe salmon. I don't know. It's possible.
Cream, a little.
Every color that they release is the name of the phone. The salmon.
Umber.
Salmon phone. Yeah. Yes. Amber phone.
Yeah. So. All right, cool.
There we go. It was really just an excuse to play the bumper.
You were just waiting for any sort of news to break during the show, right?
And I'm going to go ahead and take a break and eat my dessert.
I think you should finally eat your dessert. We're going to thank Lynda.com for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. I love Lynda.com because Lynda.com is for people like me and you, the problem solvers, the curious, the people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to take better photos, learn a new programming language, master Photoshop, or sharpen your Excel skills. Lynda.com has everything you need to feed your curious mind, and my mind is curious. Maybe you're interested in coding or Android app development. Lynda.com's latest courses include Java Essential Training, Design Patterns with Python, Database Fundamentals, Core Concepts, and Distributing Android Apps. They've also updated their course on building a note-taking app for Android, which is a great way to learn how to develop your first Android app. And Lynda.com is so great. They've got subject matter on anything that you want to learn, whether it's development and Android coding to video editing and audio editing and productivity. In fact, one of my idols, Mr. Now I can't remember his name, but the guy behind the Getting Things Done method, David Allen, he's there in the video explaining the Getting Things Done method. It truly is valuable, and I strongly recommend you look that up because it'll change your life. So what you want to do is go to lynda.com and sign up for a membership. And with that, you can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand and learn on your own schedule. You can the courses are structured so you can watch them from start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. You can browse each course's transcript to follow along or search for an answer and skip to that point. Take notes as you go and refer to them later. You can download tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on your Android devices. And you can create and save playlists of the courses you want to watch to customize your learning path or share with friends, colleagues, or team members. So you definitely want to get on board to this. Learning is key to moving forward in this fast-paced world, and Lynda.com can help you move forward. Your Lynda.com membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for just one flat rate. So whether you're looking to become an expert, or you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I want you to visit Lynda.com/allaboutandroid and sign up for your free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid, and we thank Lynda.com for their support. So I'm going to watch Lynda.com how to make s'mores. And Brian missed the cue.
Oh.
All right, let's go talk about apps. Brian, you got to watch the show, Brian, unfortunately.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and go on the record here. Graham cracker, cinnamon graham crackers,
okay, yep,
with Kit Kat and marshmallow is really good.
Really? I can't wait for the show to end. For numerous reasons. One of them is to have the s'mores.
That was really good. I wished personally that ad would last forever.
Yep.
Okay, so this is kind of cool. Android Experiments, a mobile analog to the Chrome experience that you may have checked out. It's a site that launched this last week. This is a way to show off open source apps that are doing kind of interesting, cool things, cutting edge technology type stuff on Android. So, you know, Muse, which I know was on the show, yep, in the past, kind of a cool,
very cool
wallpaper style app, plus just a bunch of others in the gallery. Lip Swap, Inkspace. Inkspace is actually really cool. I think I have I have Lip Swap.
That's a great
Ron,
name. That's a great
Ron,
name.
Ron, would you like to lip swap?
I don't know if I want to lip swap. I don't know.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, you don't get this on iOS, just saying. Okay, so I take a picture of Ron. Okay.
3 seconds to take a picture.
Hey, be quiet. This has nothing to do with you. Let's see here.
I think it's the model.
Okay, so then I go like this. I take out your mouth. And then I go like...
This is disturbing.
Hi, I'm Ron. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Holy cow.
Please stop.
Hey.
Please stop. Please. This is more horrifying.
Sometimes
than
I just like to put my eyeball in places that it doesn't belong. Okay, so that's the fun. Okay. This interesting app and more found at Android.
See, we've been able to do this for years on the TriCast.
Moving on.
Easily amused.
All right.
And even- I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry that we had you on this show. You too. I'm
we
sorry
had
that
such
we're-
high hopes yeah. for this episode. We really did. We were looking forward to it. We talked about it.
I blame Google.
So one other little note in regards to Google with the introduction of Alphabet and the moving of Google to a business unit, and we talked earlier, Nest is another business unit, things like that. We're starting to see other projects get spun out, and one of the first ones is Niantic Labs, the group inside of Google that created the ever-popular Ingress and the Field Trip app. Google has split them off into their own independent company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Alphabet. So
is it owned by Alphabet? I think they're just they're
well. That's the whole.
Done. I think they're outside of Google.
Oh, they're just out of
they're
Alphabet.
Out of Google.
Oh, then I totally misread that. Oh, they just spun it off completely.
They said, "All right, have
Look
fun
at me.
Being your own independent company." Basically.
Oh, wow! So they just let them go. They're just like, "All right, good luck." That's fascinating.
Yeah.
The founder of Niantic, John Hankey. In 2010, he founded the Niantic in 2010. He said, "We'll be taking our unique blend of exploration and fun to even bigger audiences with some amazing new partners joining Google as collaborators and backers."
So, my question is it ever a good thing to not be owned by Google anymore?
Right. Yeah.
Is it like it? I don't know. What do you think, Liam? Is this good or bad for Niantic? Niantic.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like it was their choice. They probably have some cool stuff that they're working on.
That's true.
I mean, they've proven that they have awesome ideas. Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I don't know what their exact relationship with the rest of Google was in the first place. So how tangled up they might be in Google's giant logistics versus just managing their own stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, they always seem like a bit of an odd duck. In the I mean, very specific. But and Ingress and Field Trip are, I mean, they're location based. They're kind of real world kind of bridging apps, but they're very different in what they do. Yeah, I'll be curious to see what they do. And yeah, fascinating that they spun them off to their own company. Cool. So that said, let's move on into hardware.
The other type. The other kind of hardware. The hardware. Yep.
I'm just going to blow right through these for you because we got a couple interesting notes on hardware. Number one, Fossil finally showed off its Wear smartwatch at the IDF event powered by Intel. Little was revealed in the way of specs, but the smartwatch was shown off, revealing a round-faced watch, a shiny silver body, and the flat tire at the bottom of the screen, similar, familiar to Moto 360 users.
So the flat tire is like a thing.
Yep.
I was going to say when you said round face display, not so fast.
Yeah,
almost round faced.
Yep. And the official launch is expected sometime in the holidays. So Fossil getting in the smart game, smartwatch game, along with Intel.
So then, are we seeing the flat tire trend, if you could call it that? Oh, well, this is only the second watch, so probably not a trend yet. So is this a technological limitation or is it a choice like? A choice, because some of them are coming out with the flat tire, and some of them obviously aren't. Well,
for the 360, it was because of the ambient light sensor, right?
Right, the sensor, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if that's in Fossil, which is another interesting thing, that like all these new watches that are coming out, I feel like are staying very secretive, whether that's like a Google directive, I don't know. But the Huawei watch, which we saw months ago, we still don't actually know all of the details about that, as far as I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird the sense of mystery around these watches. In fact, that leads us to our next kind of story that Motorola actually leaked themselves by posting something to Twitter and then later removing it. The version 2 of the Moto 360 that shows that the watch might be keeping the flat tire, the black bar at the bottom of the screen, and that lugs would be used for attaching the bands and the button is shifted up on the device. So leak from inside of Motorola about the new Moto.
Well, they posted it to Twitter, I think, and then suddenly they removed it. But of course, as the internet does, they take they pictures of everything.
Yep.
And then, so that it lives on forever.
And finally, regulatory documents filed in Brazil show two Motorola model numbers, the 360S and the 360L, hinting that there might be two versions or sizes of the watch. So interesting. So a little bit of Brazilian regulatory documents revealing possible product names. So keeping an eye on it. I know I have a friend who asked me if he should get the Moto 360 or wait for the version 2. And I was like, just wait, see what they're going to announce. If anything, you can get the version 1 cheaper. So cool. All right.
Before we get to the arena and kind of showcase a few apps there, let's take a minute and thank our final sponsor of today's episode. That is Ring.com. Ring.com with their Ring video doorbell, of course, is what you see here, what Ron has here. We'll go ahead and hit the button because that's what you want to do when you see a doorbell. And it may have fallen out of the box.
I think the battery
I was warned before the show. I was warned before the show that the case is not on it anymore. So it may have fallen out of the box. The Ring video doorbell, which I actually have, I installed at my home quite a few weeks ago. It was a super easy installation, as you can see right there. With a little, they gave you all the tools you need to install it and basically replace the doorbell that you have at home. They give you a level so you can make sure that it's all level and everything, and proprietary screws so that it secures and somebody can't just come up and take your doorbell from you. But basically, Ring, using the Ring.com app, you can be notified wherever you happen to be through your smartphone when somebody's at the door. So I get a ring at our doorbell, my phone's going to ring and it's going to tell me that, hey, somebody's there. And I can actually, and I've done this from work a few times, where where somebody will ring the doorbell and I can take the call essentially, and I see them on the screen and I can actually talk with them and they can hear me. And I could tell the delivery person, hey, just go ahead and leave it on the step, it's totally cool. Or even, my kids have figured out that that's a button that calls dad. So they'll hit it And if I have time, I'll talk to them.
Which I like is how that now moving forward in life, they're going to see doorbells and press it expecting they're going to talk to you anywhere.
You never know. You might as well just hit it and see if you can have a nice conversation with somebody. This is an HD, a high-definition camera. It has night vision LED, so you can see in daytime and night. And it's a wide-angle lens, so you see everything. You can also set it up for motion detection. So if you want this to kind of act as kind of a security mechanism for kind of monitoring when there's unwanted motion, you can set the sensitivity of that, and then you'll be notified on your phone when there's when there's motion that kind of falls in that category. And you can watch and see what's going on. For me, before I tweaked the sensitivity, it was when a garbage truck drove by. It was a big moving object out on the street, and it would set it off. So I had to tweak my settings, and now that doesn't happen anymore. And this kind of solves a big problem, because over 95% of home break-ins happen during the day. So you want a way to be able to monitor that and protect your home and actually, have some sort of action that you can do if something is not right. You can get in touch with someone and hopefully prevent a break-in. And I actually, just a couple of weeks ago, bought the Ring Chime, which is an additional component. This is kind of with Ring, you're entering into the world, the Internet of Things world.
IoT.
And so the Ring Chime, it's a $30, basically a plug-in bell for inside. So if getting notified on your phone isn't enough, you want to actually hear it in the house, and you don't already have a bell installed, because this will work with whatever bell you happen to have installed. We didn't have a bell installed, so I got this, and now we hear just like any old doorbell. We hear it inside. We get notified on our phone, and it's just a really cool way to tackle the doorbell. I love it. We use it all the time, and we have such a good time with it. I have a good time with it because I get to talk to my kids when I'm at work. It's pretty cool. Put your mind at ease. Protect your home with a video doorbell that Time Magazine named one of the top 10 gadgets of 2014. And right now, you can get $10 off the normal price. Protect your home. Have peace of mind with Ring. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid. And you're going to get $10 off the Ring video doorbell. Definitely check it out. And we thank Ring for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT network. Cool stuff. All right. It's the moment you've been waiting for. It's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
So we were neck and neck again this week.
You won, didn't
you? Did I win? Did I
don't know. I know the last time I looked, it was really close, but I think you were ahead, and I'm just assuming that that you did. I'm having a hard time loading the standings. Wade County says that week 32, I'm at 10, you're at 12, so yeah, you won.
Yep. Oh, look at that, by 1%.
Ahead, 1 percentage point. So Microsoft Translator wins with 32%, Dreamify at 31%, Vainglory at 19%, and Spider Oak at 18%.
Very close.
Very close. Wow. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and do a quick one here. This is one that kind of caught my eye a few weeks back, and I finally got around to playing it. And it's kind of goofy. It's kind of a physics-based game, and it's actually really hard. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy kind of the mechanics of your guy flying around on a jetpack. It's called Piloteer. And you have a career mode where you have like different challenges that you have to satisfy, or free fly. I'll do free fly first, just so that you can kind of get a sense.
Oh, I saw this game. I really like what's happening. I really like the art in this game.
Yeah, it's got kind of unique art. Everything's kind of got this nice, interesting white tracing around it, so it kind of feels it's done out of paper.
Yeah.
But basically, if I hold on this side, it flies that way, and I collapse. If I hold on this side, it flies the other way, and I collapse. The goal is to not touch the ground on your face, right?
That, yeah.
What this really shows you is how difficult it is to fly a jetpack, and you've got to... It's really hard. And essentially, you want to land on objects. Now, this is free fly. Not doing a very good job of talking and playing. Big surprise. I landed instead. Okay, so now I'm going to go back and...
Literally go back.
Yeah.
Oh, the jetpack fell off there.
It's okay. I didn't need it. Go into career mode. Go into the park. And it's really hard to kind of coordinate both fingers so that you fly straight. Like, some of the challenges are like, stay up in the air for 5 seconds and then land on your feet.
I'll see if I can try that. Like, I get confused. You get confused on which is doing what. Did I? No. No. Well, I don't know if that was five. Okay, so anyways, as you go along, you'll get these kind of things, you know, these little challenges. Land on the crates. Do you accept or decline? I'll go ahead and accept. So I'm trying to get back there.
I believe in you. I believe you could do it.
Wrong way. See?
Wrong way.
No.
Not with your head. With your feet.
Oh, that was so close. Really, the fun comes in watching the guy get thrown around like a little rag doll.
Good job.
Yay. All right. Cool. I at least passed one thing. So there you go. It's, you know, it's kind of goofy, but it's a lot of fun, and I appreciate kind of the physics aspect of it. It's $2.99. It's called Piloteer. Has a bunch of challenges, a few different worlds. I haven't even cracked into a lot of the other worlds yet. But as you can see, all those little floating things, those are all challenges that you can kind of pick up, and then you try and satisfy them and move on.
You know, it would make this game great. Is if Disney bought this company and then they just re-released this as The Rocketeer.
Would that make it great?
That would make it awesome. Everything about The Rocketeer is awesome. So.
So that is Piloteer. Not quite Rocketeer, but Piloteer. $2.99 in the Play Store. There you go. All right. Liam, we'll go with you next. And I'm really happy that you picked this because I've heard so much about it this week. And I'm very curious, but I don't want to put my money on the line. So maybe you have.
Yeah. So... full disclosure, I have an iPhone as well, but it's not my daily driver. Don't worry. But I was using this app on iOS for a while before it came over to Android. And I picked it because, it's a cool idea. It's really easy to use. But mainly because they did such a good job of coming from iOS to Android. And my camera's too bright. But they maintained kind of the look and feel and like the brand image of the app. But it's material and it's really fun to use. It switches to dark mode when trading is after hours. Your whole screen is like a very scary, depressing red if your stock goes down. If it goes up, it's a really pleasant, minty green.
You're in trouble.
So, I would recommend checking it out. I don't think you have to make a deposit to play around with the app. If you do, sorry, but
I started to register for it, and it was a long process for me to do on the fly during the show. But so
it is.
So what is the kind of like the elevator pitch on Robinhood? Because I actually that was a weird thing behind there. what exactly is this? Who is this for?
I guess casual investors. Okay. There's no fee to trade, like buy or sell, or any commissions or anything like that. So it's totally up to you to find stocks or funds or whatever you want, and then buy them. You fund it through your bank account. So you hook up a bank account. They do. I can't remember exactly what authorization is like, but it's pretty quick. And then you just make deposits from there, and then you start buying stuff.
That's crazy. The fact that you can, allows you to buy and sell stock and monitor the stocks without a broker,
with
right?
No friction. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, no cost.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy. It's cool though. I mean, is there a minimum buy-in or do you have to spend $500 to start or could I just take $10 and do that?
I think there's no minimum.
Wow.
I think I put in like $100 to start just to like play around with it. And there's, but it has like cool little, I don't know if you can see this, but cool animations when you're swiping, when the numbers, it only does it if it has to load the numbers, but they kind of count up like a little ticker when you scroll by, just little stuff like that.
Has it made you rich?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
They told me otherwise a couple hours ago.
Well, it's impressive that it was out there for iOS and they ported it over, keeping their own identity, but then also embraced material at the same time. At the same time, so
Did a really great job of that.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like we're seeing more of that.
People
designing for the platform.
Yeah,
yeah.
You equally also see people that just have their design and it's that way on whatever platform they have.
When we get to my app, that's a similar story. So. Mm.
Cool. Excellent. So that is Robinhood, all one word. And apparently you can check it out with little to no friction. You can start trading stocks. That's kind of crazy. Let's see here. Check it out. That is free. And then, Francisco, I have your app installed unless there is a big registration process like I ran into Robinhood. I think it'll be fine, though. I'll follow along. Tell us a little bit about your app.
Okay, so my app is called Focus. It's an amazing gallery app. I'm kidding.
wait a minute. this doesn't look like Focus to me.
No, it doesn't. Not for real. This is an app called Motorsport Manager. If you're into Formula One and you like managing, you can build a team from scratch. And you're basically the manager of the team, the owner of the team. So you start on the lowest grade, like imagine a Formula 3 or something, and you start by getting new pilots and better mechanics, and then building your headquarters and upgrading, and just manage your races, like the pit stops, the tires, adjust based on the weather system. And it's pretty cool. It's a very fast pacing, so you don't lose like 10 hours doing a race. It's like 10 minutes tops for a race. So you can do a bunch of seasons in a couple hours. And it's pretty amazing. I love Formula One, so I was pretty into it for a couple weeks. And yeah, that's it. So I don't know what you did, but
did I not go to the right place?
I have no idea what you did. So you're about to starting a race, qualifying. So you can have your suggest setup, so you can adjust based on what your mechanics say.
Okay.
And go ahead, continue, and you can see the race. I got it. Okay. If you press the forward down there, you can see the forward button. Yeah.
Got it.
So you see the cars running around.
Yep.
So it's pretty amazing. Your cars are still on the box, on the pit box. So, but you can still see how it works, basically.
How do I send them out? I just do the send out thing?
Up there is a button that said, yeah, just send out. You just race for the best time and hope for the best.
Nice. Now, okay, so I imagine for this game, you have to have a really good sense of Formula One from a strategy and mechanics sort of standpoint?
Not really. It's very easy to understand and adjust based on what your screen says to you. Mm-hmm. And if you see rain falling in, you just pit your car and change to wet tires, for example. You can change, you can tell your pilots to go faster or slower. You see conserve, neutral, or push based on what's happening on the race. So it's very easy, very easy. And you don't need to be any mastermind about Formula One to do whatever. It's very fun, very fast, wastes a little bit of battery, but that's okay.
Yeah.
What doesn't these days? Yeah.
Games. It's just what games do. That's how games roll. Cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, from my perspective, like I've played plenty of racing games. This is definitely a different type of racing game. This is not a first person sitting in the cockpit or, you know what I mean? Sitting in the seat, driving around the track from a first person perspective. It's almost like a manager.
Yes, it's a manager, but you have to be watching the race very closely. So you cannot just set it up, leave it there, and do something else. You have to watch it because there's lots of things happening and you have to react very quickly.
Right.
So you actually play it, but it's a different type of play.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Very different. I love it. That is called Motorsport Manager. It's $1.99 in the Play Store. And yeah, great pick. I love that.
Yeah, in the in-app purchases, you don't need them ever. So you just buy it once and go with it.
You can play for as long as you need to.
Those are the best kind of games. Yeah.
There you go. Cool. Motorsport Manager. All right, Ron. What do you
cool. Got? So, as some of you longtime listeners know, I one of my many interests is music, and one of my favorite things to do is to post a link to a song I like with some lyrics and that sort of thing. And I don't know if you're like me, but every lyrics website on the internet seems to be one of the most evil websites in terms of either design or too many ads, or they're just like, lyrics websites seem to be like the cesspool of the internet for some reason, and I don't understand why. But there's a site that's doing something about that, a site called Genius, and they've had an iOS app for a little while, and now I'm excited to see that they have an Android app finally come out. And this is another case of taking a pre-established design from iOS and then porting it over and embracing material where it makes sense. So when you open it up, and it's important to note that Genius is a really genius combination of both song lyrics as well as crowdsourced annotations.
Yeah, it is.
So imagine merging songs and music you like with Wikipedia-style explanations or theories or just interesting notes about the songs, which is kind of really cool. So when you open up the app, you can search or you can see what's hot. I have noticed in terms of what's hot or what's going on, it's a different community than the people I run with. It seems to be a lot more hip hop and urban based. Like, I don't know what.
Yeah, because it started as Rap Genius, I think.
Did it?
Yeah. That was kind of where it began. So
yeah. I don't know what Drake is, but apparently it's very popular. So
I don't know what a Drake is.
Yeah. But if you're like me and you're like, oh, well, I really like the Smiths. So you can, you know, let's say the song Vicar in a Tutu. That sounds like a weird song, but I'd like to know what it is. They do actually have music other than rap, so that's nice to see it's expanded. Really nice design when you pull it up. You can launch a video, and you can actually see the video for the song and listen to it, which is a nice little added feature when they have it. Supposedly it will work. Yeah, there you go. So I don't know why it's not showing any video. This is video with no actual music.
Maybe it's just that. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, all right, I don't want to play too much. Later. Oh, there it is.
Ron, sorry for interrupting, but when you were searching for an artist, that was network, right? That wasn't local. Sorry.
Yeah, that was networked. Yeah. None of it is local. So
that was very fast. Can you do it again?
Search something? And then it just crashed. Stop. All right, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, it crashed.
Okay, so.
Search for something that you haven't searched before.
Okay, we're going to search for, let's do Once in a Lifetime, the song by Talking Heads.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, that was pretty fast.
Yeah, it's pulling it up with every character.
Yeah.
You know, it's pulling up a new.
So, so then once you do pull up a song, like I said, you can pull the video if it has it. It gives you a little explanation. It, of course, tells you the name of the song and the name of the artist, a little bit of an explanation about it, a little summary. It tells you how many times it's been viewed and how many people are viewing it right now, which I think is a really cool feature. And then you see all the lyrics. And when you see lyrics that are highlighted, that means they have annotations. And these came from the community themselves. You can't actually add annotations via the app as of yet. You still have to go to the Genius website to do it there. But if you tap on it, you can pull up this really interesting, you know, so the section of Once in a Lifetime, well, you may tell yourself, whatever. Apparently here, this person is annotating it, saying that Owen Wilson talks about the movie Rushmore and how this section reminds him of Bill Murray's character in Rushmore. It's got a nice little graphic. And I've seen animated GIFs, and I've seen other kind of illustrations to kind of explain things. So it's really kind of like this nice, you know, conversation about music, which is something that I actually kind of love.
Yeah, it's cool because it's part interpretation and part fact. Because if there was an interview with an artist and they said something about a particular block of lyrics, the community will find out about that and they'll put it in there. So you can actually find out what a piece of lyric actually meant when they wrote it.
Yeah, so this is an interesting example of a song, Hot Topic by La Tigre, where they talk about, they give a bunch of shout-outs to women musicians and artists and things like that. And so I imagine if you're listening to this and you don't know who Kalorama and Eleanor Anton are, you can tap in it and it'll explain to you that they're both feminist artists and they explain, you know, nudity. Or who Yoko Ono was and that sort of thing. Like, if you really want to know what they're talking about, it's really you can just get lost in it. I will admit I do have a complaint about it. So like I said, I like to find lyrics and share them. They've got a cool share button where you can just go and it'll pull up all the standard Android share option, and give you your options to share it. What it does is it shares out a link. It doesn't actually share out specific lyrics. And for whatever reason, they have copy and paste disabled. And I don't know if you can see my little tapper. I'm trying to long tap on the text, and it never lights up. And no universal copy and paste work or whatever. They've done something to block you from actually copy and pasting, which probably has to do with reproduction rights and
that's
stuff like
I'm
that.
That's what I'm wondering, yeah.
Yeah. But that said, I can easily just say, okay, Hot Topic is the way that we rhyme and go type that on Twitter, and that's fine.
Ron, so, just curious, why did you think it would share the text instead of the link?
Because there's no way to highlight the text that is sharing. So if I go to share, and I'm going to go to Talon.
Okay. Right?
See, and it gives me the name of the song and the artist and the link to the lyrics.
Yeah, but you assumed it would share the text the first time it uses, right?
That's what I hoped for, you know, but that didn't happen. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, but what the first time I used it, I went and I tried to do the long tap to do the, you know, to do copy, and I saw it wasn't working. And then I tried share and I said, oh, they're just sharing a link. And I assume it's copy. It's because of copyright.
Well, that's bad UX.
Yeah, agreed. But it's a lot better to access this app and find the lyrics than going to those cesspool websites on the internet. Yeah.
Agreed on that 100%. Yeah.
So I'll take a little frustration in having to actually type the lyric versus using copy and paste.
Hey, you never know. Now on tap, you could possibly scan this and maybe it would take you to a website where you could copy it from. I don't know.
That'd be cool. So it's called Genius and it's free in the Google Play Store. So check it out.
It's pretty awesome. And actually just to expand beyond that, it isn't just song lyrics either. They also do like, I had this on Android App Arena a couple of weeks ago. They have like, you know, President Obama's 2012 inauguration speech in there. Like they've expanded it to books, you know, and other, you know, reviews and all this other stuff. So it's not just song lyrics. It's a cool way to get extra content or context around creative work.
Well, like I said, like I went to look up one song to find the lyrics and I got lost in the annotation.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost.
It's a rat hole.
And they do plan on bringing annotation from the app in sometime soon. So that's a feature that's on the horizon. You can do that on iOS apparently. You'll be able to do it here soon. So it's time for you to vote, and we'll check in on it next week and see how things go. AAApoll.com/227 to vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Piloteer, Robinhood, Motorsport Manager, or Genius? Place your vote. Let us know what you think, and we'll check in next week, and we'll see how this neck-and-neck battle throughout the course of this year goes. Guest has 50% chance this week.
They do. Yeah, they're good odds on the guests.
Better odds.
Jason, do I get a marshmallow if I win?
Sure. I'll send you this bag of marshmallows if you really want some. Although it's kind of melted.
They don't travel very well.
Yeah. How about a Kit Kat?
Yes, you can send me a box of those if you want.
All right. Well, I wish you guys were here because you could enjoy what I have enjoyed, which is a pretty amazing s'more to celebrate, Marshmallow. Thank you for naming the OS after desserts or ingredients, however you want to interpret that, because I will always eat them when you do.
What was going through my head, I cannot say it right now.
Please don't. let me guess. I don't give a crap.
You've said so much already, Francisco. I don't know why you would stop now.
Really want to thank you guys for coming on and pitching in on the news and also just kind of telling us about process because I find that super fascinating. You guys have done a great job with the app. So thanks for talking all about it.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Francisco. Where can people kind of follow what you're doing online? If you have anything you want people to know about, any you know, updates to the app or whatever you got, where can people find you?
Google Plus mainly, I think. Just don't email me. I hate email. So anything else, Google Plus is a good place. Hangouts, I answer sometimes. But yeah, mostly Google Plus. You can just tag me and I'll probably reply.
Excellent. Look for Francisco Franco 1990 is the username on Google Plus. Cool. Thank you, Francisco. And then, of course, Liam Spradlin. Obviously, you're doing lots of cool design stuff, but you also have another job at a particular website that a lot of fans of this show follow. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find my writing at Android Police or Dotapixel or plus Liam Spradlin at Liam Spradlin. I'm usually on Google Plus and Twitter most of the time. And if I can plug this, I'm going to be talking at DroidCon this year in New York about branding and material design. So, that's something that interests you. You should totally come.
When is that?
It is next week, actually, the 27th, 28th.
I'm actually going to be in New York City. I might crash that.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect. Let me. I'm going to see if I can land a press pass or something, or if not, I'll just pay for it. But yeah, that sounds awesome. So, cool.
Radical. Thank you, Liam. Thank you, Francisco. Thank you too, Ron. I don't tell you thank you enough.
Oh, Jason, you're too kind. I need to thank you. You're amazing. This man is
an inspiration. Only because there are desserts.
You brought fire to the show the first time ever.
Heck yeah. I'm not going to do it again. Yeah. I'm scared. Leo's in the chat room. I don't want him to see me lighting the place on fire. Ron, what's up?
Not much. Just enjoying the Android world. Go to about.me/RonXO and you can find links to my Google Plus and my Twitter and my Instagram and all that fun stuff. And if you're into comic books, please go to ifanboy.com and check out their weekly podcast that comes out every Sunday. We talk about all the great new comic books that come out every week. And I've got a couple other projects in the works, and I've actually got a launch date for the next one. So come September, you're going to hear about a new project I'm working on.
I thought you were going to say you had a date. I was going to be like, good for you. Brian, what about you, sir, Mr. News Voice?
Well, when I'm not working at this control desk, I'm doing a show with Padre on Thursdays called Know How. And you can see, hey, there's Jason right up there.
Sorry, I can see myself in your monitors.
I think this week we're working on ways to stay cool because it's definitely been hot, you know, this time of year. So probably some makeshift ways of keeping cool. So check that out this Thursday.
Excellent. Do that. As for me, you can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. I have another Android show where all I do is review apps. That's Android App Arena. twit.tv/arena. My episode tomorrow is all about kind of back-to-school apps that'll be good for students and stuff. So that is that. But as for this show, that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email at AAA@twit.tv or put a link to a video. It magically becomes a video mail. We're on Twitter, @AndroidShow. We're on Reddit. It's twitaaa.reddit.com. Let's see here. Google Plus, we have a community that's very active. Check it out. Just search for All About Android. You can always find this show on the site at twit.tv/AAA. That's our home on the web. And then our episodes also hit YouTube and iTunes and all the other places. And we're live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Yeah!
I thought you said you weren't going to use the fire anymore.